Blog Talk Radio.
Call me sister, call me friend. I am the wisdom from Most High. I am one with God and you. Without me, life is so vain. A simple letter for your soul. You've become part of myself. And I will be for your own. Peace, love, and togetherness. A light in the darkness will open the door to a place that shall burn forevermore. The sweetness of wisdom will spread through the world, and the dark will shine so bright and strong forevermore.
Blessings and greetings. Blessings, blessed souls, we're alive because we want to be staying alive in Torah Chaim, Torah Chesed, Torah Racham, instructions of life, kindness, and mercies. This is the 265th class of Soul Class, and today's class is going to focus on Yaakov's or Jacob's voice and world repair. And we're going to ask Mechila, we're going to ask forgiveness from blessed brother in arms, thought, speech, and all the good things of this world, Reb Isaac Batone. So we're going to turn on Reb Isaac and start with the show. Thank you, Reb Isaac. And I just want to let everyone know that Reb Isaac is a man of good heart and cheer. And he connected me to his cousin, Shmuel Levi, Halevi, Levite, who lives out in California. And hopefully we're going to get into some negotiations, hopefully do an interview with Shmuel Levi about his wonderful music, his band Leviathan. And I just want to let everyone know that I am most interested in connecting with artists, musicians, painters, fellow DJs, to talk about the importance of uplifting the creation in this generation, positive revelations, to use the physicality of this world as a way of praising the Most High and connecting and improving the human family experience. And speaking of the human family experience, for those of you blessed souls who want to connect to the nation Israel in one level of unity, this coming Torah portion that will be read on this coming blessed Shabbat will be Parsha Kitisa, and we'll be reading from chapter 30, verse 11, and concluding at chapter 34, verse 35. And for the Haftarah, you can read about the spectacular, powerful event of when Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, challenged the priest of the Baal to a, so to speak, a contest whose offerings would be acceptable before the Most High. And anyone who's been through Book of Kings, chapter 1, Book of Kings 1, chapter 18, verses 1 through 39, we'll have an idea of what's going on already, and if you haven't, it's good to review because there's always new instruction in Torah. Rashi, the primary elucidator of the written Torah tradition in the Chumash, and also an extremely important elucidator in the Tanakh, the teachings of the prophets and the writings, mentioned that Torah should be like a new thing in your eyes. It should surge within you. It should generate within you a sense of new energy, a sense of new dedication, a sense of new wonderment at the Most High's instruction, because either not dry, antiquated statutes, blessed souls, Torah is a thing of life. And that which is life is a state of kinetic, eternal energy, not static pieces of ink on static pieces of paper, as the world with their all-too-human intellectual eyes likes to look at matters of spirituality. With that being said, blessed souls, let's go right into what we wanted to share with you. Excuse me. Within the essence of worlds, blessed souls, matter that takes up place, dash space, actions do in fact cause arousal. There are actions which arouse in corresponding worlds qualities of severities, and there are actions which arouse qualities of deliverance and salvation. Gula v'Yeshua. We of Israel engaged in an activity almost 3,325 years ago that we still strive to rectify until this very day, 5,773 years blazing and grazing creation on the 17th of Adar, February 27th, 2013, whichever calendar you feel more comfortable with. Namely, that which we're trying to rectify with the unfortunate consequences, excuse me, of a small segment of those who stood at Mount Sinai with us, the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, where Moses, the mighty Levi prophet, excuse me, initially received the Torah, who then 40 days later, these members of the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, engaged in a tremendous error in worshiping Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. And for those who did not worship the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, they were too silent. They didn't take action at the right time. So therefore, we are actively involved in trying to rectify, lesaken, letaken, et hamatzav, sha'avar. Something that happened in the past, 3,325 years ago. We of Israel still trying to fix. And the Most High in His great mercies understands that despite the conditions of exile, we're doing what we can. And He most mercifully, hopefully into the future as well, shall assist us in this process and send us more righteous teachers who can assist us in our ways. That's my prayer at this particular moment. Then, as a parenthetical statement, blessed souls, that we should never be shying away from the opportunity to pray for what we need, and we need more and more great teachers who can elucidate the Torah clearly and succinctly in a manner that not just Jewish people, but all the blessed children of the world, the Bnei Noach, can connect to. Now, back to the idea of tikkun, of rectification, repairing the world. Part of the rectification process, tenua hatikkun, is recognizing the significance, Hakol Shel Yaakov, the voice of Jacob, which we, blessed souls, can learn more about by learning from Sefer HaBereshit, Sefer Bereshit, the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 22, Perek Chav Zayin, Posek Chof Bes. And of course, we actively encourage all those who want to look at this verse to check out the accompanying oral Torah elucidations written by Rashi, as we just mentioned before, and other Israelite sages of the ages. From a perspective of Pnimiyat Torah, inner Torah perspective, Hakol Shel Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov, Jacob, is primarily dedicated to words, voicing words of eternal Torah, and voicing words of prayer. The virtues of words of Torah and the virtues of the words of prayer, blessed souls, should not be underestimated. Unfortunately, to our great praying Letzareinu, within the exiled condition of Israel, and for that matter, the exiled condition of the blessed children of Noah, more importance is generally placed upon human intellect, reasoning, philosophy, devoid of Torah knowledge. Regarding prayer, too many human souls are negating this act of positive self-negation, bitul chiyuvi, and then place their hopes and dreams within the frail hands, minds, and hearts of other human beings who feign power, who feign omnipotence, who feign via their overbloated projections of false self-esteem in the name of having themselves portrayed as the problem solvers of creation, if only others would follow as they say and not as they do, which generally undermines the very foundations of the solutions they offered whether intentionally, half-heartedly, consciously, or subconsciously. However, focusing backwards on Torah, sweet words of eternal Torah, words of Torah correspond, Limud HaTorah, correspond to all the commandments, while words of prayer correspond to animal sacrifices, the Karbonot, which were offered from the days of original man and woman, their children, Noah, Noah and his descendants, Abraham, Avraham and his descendants, until human consciousness became too restricted. And today there are many voices that cry out against the idea of the resurrection of such unique forms of Avodas Hashem, of serving the Almighty. For me personally, blessed souls, I personally don't worry over such polemic discussion. As I was told by my Rav last Friday, Rav Avram Taub Shlita, Borough Park, Dai Letzara Bashata, an expression from the Gemara that it's enough that pain, matters that pain the human condition, when they occur at the time that a person is pained, that's sufficient. Meaning we don't get cooking in matters that cause us pain when it comes to theological perspectives of those who disagree with us, or even of those who agree with us but have take a slightly different bent, and vice versa. I don't mean to cause pain to someone because my views differ with their views, but rather I ask anyone who's listening to my humble efforts today, future efforts, to consider, weigh things out in your mind, check out the sources that we humbly try to point people in the direction to, and look it up yourself, learn it yourself, and discuss it with others before you come to any concrete conclusions, which might be not so concrete after all. So again, I don't worry about polemic discussion, even when it's brought down from Talmudic oral Torah traditions or straight scriptural traditions, but rather we engage in a service of think tanking or library research within our minds and our hearts, and we access the books, we access teachers, we have a question, we ask, and we can work things out. But one thing's for sure, blessed souls, anything to do with, per se, the matter of animal sacrifices, whether they'll be reinstated or not reinstated, we'll wait for the Lion of Judah, the Ari Yeshua Yehuda, who will roar out Torah Chadasha, give us new perspectives that were never accessed, even by the greatest prophets of Israel, the greatest prophets dating from original Amman until Noach. We're not worried about those things. Those matters will play out. But rather, what we do suggest, that words of prayer, which correspond, according to Talmudic tradition, to the animal sacrifices of the past, or the mincha offerings, the offerings of various forms of vegetation, or the libations, or the burning of incense, words of prayer now correspond to those acts. Words of prayer, according to Torah, are words uttered relating to the fact that we recognize that when we pray to the Most High is the one true source for all whom we can turn to and answer our needs. Plucking out from a teaching from this week's Torah portion, the Alter Rebbe, the Balat Tanya, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who lived from 1745 until 1813, until he went to the next level of life, extracting out an inspiration from his Torah or Parsha Kitiso, instructs us concerning prayer in its essence is contained within the recitation of the Shema prayer. Now, for the Jewish people, we're familiar with it, and some of us are not. But for the general population of the world, and by the way, the very famous sage, the Chadol, who lived over 200 plus, maybe 250 years ago, once instructed Aben Noach to increase in his service of serving the Most High, that he should recite the Shema every day. So you can access the Shema prayer, blessed souls, which the Alter Rebbe has defined as the essence of prayer. You can find it by going to Devorim, Perech Vov, Posik Dalet, Perech Vov, Psukim, Hey, Ad Tesha, and as well, Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Yud Gimel Ad Chaf Aleph, and Sefer Midbar, Perek Tesvav, Psukim Lamedzan Ad Arbayim Aleph. Well, in English, that translates into the Book of Devarim, blessed souls. Book of Deuteronomy, excuse me, chapter 6, verse 4. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 13 to 21. And concluding the section from the Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. Now, connected with this prayer essence, or the essence of prayer, as the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, pointed out to us in his teachings from Torah Or, we also hope to arouse blessed souls of an option of approach within this path of prayer. Prayer essence of prayer, of connection towards and with the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite Creator, may be blessed, that there's a particular path. This Torah-mandated path, which can intensify one's prayer essence or essence of prayer, is the path of love, Derek Shel Ahava. And the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi in Torah, or instructs us blessed souls via verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 15, or Devarim, Perik Lamed, Posik Tezvov, quote, see, I have placed before you today the life and the good and the death and the evil. That which I command you today, to love Creator, your God, to walk in His ways, to observe His commandments, His decrees, and His ordinances, then you will live and you will multiply, and Hashem, God, your Creator, will bless you in the land to which you come and possess it. Now, blessed souls, this was something that Moses told the Israelites, but there has to be a universal instruction, as the Baal Shem Tov teaches us, the modern patriarch of the Hasidic movement. And just to remind everyone, the Hasidic movement is actually a very ancient movement, which King David HaMelech, talked about being a Chassid. The Talmud talked about Chassidim. It's a very ancient movement, this movement of kindness, loving kindness, brotherly love. It's called the Hasidic movement, blessed souls. In fact, the children of Noah, who accept upon themselves the seven Noahide commandments, are crowned with the title Hasidit Umut Olam, the pious, the righteous ones of the nations. So you can have the Hasidim within Klal Yisrael. Not necessarily we're talking about the modern groups that identify with, like, for instance, Lubavitch and Bells and Staliner and Kloisenberg. That's fine. I'm in a Lubavitcher. Try to be. It's not so easy. But there's this, the Hasidic way is the way of loving, brotherly love, sisterly love, human love towards the Creator, transmitting the Creator's love back into the creation, to the human family experience, through acts of kindness and compassion and understanding, and getting beyond this crazy ethnocentric motif that unfortunately most of the human family experiences and still stuck in, like a person gets stuck in the mud. This idea, the Creator did not leave us alone. If He placed us in this world, certainly He gave us instruction of path. And the path of life is called good. And the path of death is called evil. We have to be clear about that. And we shouldn't be ashamed to talk about that with other people. And we shouldn't be judgmental at the time that we share these teachings with others about life and good and death and evil. And how we should love the Creator and learn of His ways. And hopefully want to share those ways with others. And more importantly, to exemplify those ways in a way that's humble and modest. Not an easy task. When I master that process, I'll let you know, blessed souls. We're all works in progress. Now, for us to realize, blessed souls, continued within this Torah instruction, that we are empowered to walk among the living, breathing human family experience, to perceive within every fiber and molecule of this world, there is physicality, gashmius, or gashmiut, and spirituality, ruchniyus, or ruchniyut. The ruchniyut, excuse me, and chayot eloki, is life, and it's good. Pure physicality is mavis, death, v'ra, and evil, by virtue that it shall eventually be consumed and dissipate into ethereal, morphological, transdimensional displacement from its original purpose, it was well intended and blessed to be suited to be matter, yes, physical, yes, physicality, gashmius, chomer, but to be used to recognize the Creator's love, ahava shel borei olam, the bria shel borei olam, and the creation of the Creator, as a means, the gale et the kovod shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reveal the Creator's glory upon this earth, which is living and blessed. And in order that those who perhaps, Rahman al-Tzlan, have heaven have mercy on these, on other people. At this moment, there are people walking on blessed souls who are plagued by closed minds, closed ears, closed mouths, and last but not least, probably the worst affliction of all, closed hearts. So we, who consider ourselves people of spirit, people of goodwill, chassidim, it's our job to exemplify that which has been taught to us. And that way we can rectify, hopefully speed in our days. And how much more so with the guidance of the Lion of Judah, Ari Yeshua Yehuda, Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah, to rectify that matter that still plagues Israel, and for that matter, the nature of the Bnei Noach, the children of Noah in this world, that Chet HaEgel, that sin of the golden calf. I want to conclude, blessed souls, with this, and we're going to segue out to a wonderful new song by David Dohm, who you know I like to conclude my shows with. In this week's Torah portion, in chapter 34, verses 5, 6, and 7, the Most High revealed something to Moses. Something that I want to reveal to you now and share with you, blessed souls, and hopefully you'll share with one other person, if not today or tomorrow, whenever you hear the archive version, namely the 13 attributes of mercy. If you go into this week's Torah portion, see that the Most High actually had considered destroying the nation of Israel for that heinous action of worshipping a golden calf or allowing others to do so, those who did not actually worship it but were silent observers of it. And that moment where the Most High revealed his Yud Gimel Sarachamim was an instruction, is an instruction for our days until eternity. That there is a place within the creation, which is all a part of the Creator. He is not part of the creation is a part of Him. There is nothing separate from Him, blessed souls, the Creator. That we can beseech Him in the following manner, because He revealed to us what His attributes are. Let me read these verses very quickly, or maybe very slowly. So in chapter 34, verse 5, God descended in a cloud and stood with Him there, meaning Moshe, and the Most High called out with the name Hashem, Hashem, passed over Him and proclaimed Hashem, Hashem, one of God's names, the Yudke Vavke, the four-letter name, and the two-letter name for God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in kindness and truth. Preserver of kindness for thousands of generations, forgiver of iniquity, willful sin and error, and who cleanses but not does cleanse completely, recalling the iniquity of parents upon children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Okay, there are people who would argue, well, look, he's a judgmental creator who goes through a process of punishing. Well, The language here, blessed souls, in the revelation of the Yud Gimel Min HaSarachim, the 13 attributes of mercy. And by the way, who came up with the idea that 13 is unlucky? We see that 13 is a very, very graceful number, because it was the number that was used to reveal 13 attributes. And there are even more attributes of the Most High, which can't even go into today, blessed souls. He really has Ein Sof Midot, Ein Sof attributes. But we see that the expression is who cleanses. And does not cleanse completely. I mean, he doesn't exact full judgment in one time, regardless of what the wrongdoing was done. So, the iniquity of the parents upon the children, grandchildren, to the third and fourth generations, that's something one has to look into one's own family tree, not to point the finger at other families or their family trees for perhaps things which we could reach probably a general consensus were not good things, and perhaps those were cleansing processes. But on the other hand, blessed souls, the preserver of kindness for thousands of generations, I mean, what human being can make you that promise? Preserver of kindness for thousands of generations. In fact, blessed souls, from the Mount Sinai experience, which was 3,325 years ago, if we divide it by 20, say every 20 years is a generation, we're only talking about 166 generations. And here we see for thousands, not a thousand, but for thousands of generations, he will preserve kindness for those who follow his way. Blessed souls. So we're, all of us today on this planet, are connected to ancestors who accessed these attributes of mercy from the Most High, whether they were conscious or subconscious of it. And that's why I myself, Dunzo Tzvi Goodman, your humble cyberspace Torah activist, feel compelled to continue on with these humble efforts to share with you these insights, so you'll want to do research into the matter. What other being can make this promise of preserving kindness for the human family experience for thousands of generations? And when you while you meditate on that, blessed souls, I want to go now and segue to a dreamer's nigun. A nigun is an expression for song in Hebrew. And this is by David Dohm. Will help us get back home, blessed souls. It's purely instrumental, but it's truly inspirational. In fact, I wrote a comment when I first heard it this morning, writing back to Brother David, that, wow, I just read Psalms to this nigun, or Tehillim, a perfect musical companion to David HaMelech, King David's compositions. As well, I closed my eyes and envisioned the 12 tribes of Israel returning to Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land, to music like this, mounting the clouds of glory. All aboard! Redemption clouds are coming our way, blessed souls. Getting some goose pimples now. Gotta go, to be continued. Blessed souls, take care. And by the way, this is the clouds of glory also waiting the blessed children of Noach, to take them, whether to be to Israel or to their true homelands, or where their homelands are in, to rectify them according to Torah instruction, divine instruction, eternal divine instruction, blessed souls. Whew. I can only conclude with, blessed souls, excuse me, Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny, Kulanu, B'darchi Shalom, in a peaceful way, Darchi Noam, in a pleasant way. Just to remind everyone, tomorrow 9 a.m., hopefully Eastern Standard Time, here on Turtle Island, a.k.a. United States of America, for 4 o'clock if you're out in Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh, the holy city of Jerusalem, the eye of the universe, the soul of the universe, for the human family experience. Or you're out in dreamy and creamy California, yay, waking up to those sweet, refreshing smells of the Western Coast. We'll be doing a show about this week's Torah portion, connecting Purim to Pesach, with international human rights activist, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldtuck. So in the meantime, blessed souls, remember, one last thing. I know I keep saying I want to conclude, but I just want to go on because I just feel these matters so important to share with you. Please, 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 and I'll say it one more time, please don't underestimate the goodness within yourself. You have a divine image. Will help you get off and scrimmage. The Tzelem Elokim is no dream. Please don't overestimate the negativities within yourselves. Soon all the negativities within each and one, every one of us will fade away with that bright new day of redemption time. A Dreamer's Niggun by David Dohm. Enjoy.